fine, really beautiful. Thank you, Brother Clark. That was a beautiful song. I love that song. I've heard it before. If I could steal it from you, I would, you know. Really beautiful. Thank you so much. Anchor Holes, we really need that in times like these. And I'm really grateful to you for having sung it. Now, I don't know. Wait a minute. Time out. I got to do one thing. A certain president who remains nameless says, supposed to button your coat when you stand before people. It's a little tight fit, but I'm going to do it anyway. I thought my wife had given me one of my relaxing kind of suits, but she didn't, and so I'm going to... Now, if it gets hot up here, I will unbutton. Because, after all, I am a senior professor. That ought to make some difference. If I have to get brought to the office for it, I think I know how to defend myself. I either unbutton it or I smother, and I didn't like smothering when I was a kid. Now, we are here, and I know that you've heard some stories about me. I'm innocent. I'm innocent. Although I did one night, I was teaching a Thursday night class several years ago, and I was sitting at the desk, and you know, I never can stand still. This is why when I die, I've told my wife, don't have people viewing me, because they're going to say he looks natural, and I don't look natural being quiet and being still. And when I'm a mummy, I don't want to be seen. I want to be seen when I'm a wheel rolling around. Anyway, one night, I had this situation to happen. I was teaching, and there was a shadow. I don't know what happened. This shadow just happened to me. So I began to cruise toward the right as I was going toward the door. I was teaching and not missing a beat. And suddenly I was standing in front of the door, and then this person appears before me. And I say to him very quietly, "Where are you going?" He jumped 6 feet. Because he didn't know I did. He was so occupied on slipping until he didn't realize I was tipping. And so this is what really happens. Now what we're going to do is going to pray and then read the Word of God, teach the Word of God. I've got a message today. I was debating between two and nothing was coming in final last night. One came to me and said, "Oh, this is what I'm going to do." And this morning early, this message came. I have no script, so if I don't do well, you understand why. Father God, we are grateful. You have blessed us here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We've got three of the most interesting and hectic weeks here and in the next 2 weeks. This week, the accrediting agencies are here on the campus. And Lord, we're trying to cooperate. May they find us faithful to the tasks which you have set us to do at this institution. Next week, the Board of Trustees comes. We are blessed, O Lord, and we ask you to bless our president and those who will be dealing with the Board of Trustees. They need, oh God, we need their help. We need their assistance. And so we are praying for them. And then 2 weeks from today, 2 weeks from now, we'll have the Sandy Creek Week. And Lord, there are those here who are saying they're in the ministry, but they don't know why. May they be touched, and may your spirit just seize them and, if necessary, shake them into the realization that unless they are true to you, they need not apply to ministry. We're praying, oh God, that you will bless each of us here today. And bless me as I deal with the greatest issue you cannot escape. The greatest issue you cannot escape. So let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, I am cognizant of the fact that I've got a class at 11:30. They are hoping that something will happen, and I won't finish in time for them to take something called a biggie. But I'm worried. If I don't get that biggie in their hands today, they'll go to the dean. You see the guilt coming out? Turn, please, to Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27. We're going to put in at verse 11. Matthew chapter 27, we're putting in at verse 11.
How fast can you run?
We have sprinters, gallopers, trotters, runners, and some of you run because you want to lose weight, or you run because you feel that that will help you limber up. How fast can you run? And then there are people who are experts at hiding. Oh, can they hide? Oh, they can avoid this, they can avoid that. It's due for a paper. The paper is due, but they can find a way. They'll say, well, you see what happened is, I got slowed down in my work because I was doing revivals, and therefore, and the professor says, get that paper in on time. You can't run. You can't hide. There are issues we can dodge, but there is one issue we cannot dodge, and that's the issue I'm dealing with today. I like to search hearts. I need to get down in and hammer in there and make you think, because I was made to think concerning this. Imagine I back away when I hear that thing go whoop. Scares me a little bit. And although I know I've done nothing wrong, my name is Bill Clinton, and I know I feel your pain, but have no fear, I'm on my way out of here. I didn't want Dr. Patterson to catch him. Now, what happens? All kinds of plots and schemes had been made against Jesus. The religious leaders of his day hated him because he had an authority that they did not have. They had nothing compared to what he had. After all, he was the Son of God. He had come down in human vesture, born of a virgin. And he lived in this world, taught in this world, and they could not dispute him with any kind of clarity. Jesus was the Son of God, and yet they hated him because they feared his teaching, because he was taking the people from the status quo and saying to them, this is the way, walk you in it. And so therefore they decided they had to do something. This man was getting too popular. No, we don't believe in him. We know he's getting too popular, and we know that the Romans may come and take our place if he is not stopped. And so they were waiting for a way to stop him. And so at last, one of his disciples, a crafty, sorry rascal named Judas, decided he would take matters in his own hand and one way or another force the issue. So he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a common slave. And then when he saw that Jesus was condemned, because here was a case where they were having a trial to find a man guilty so he could not be proven innocent. And so they had the trial. And then they brought him to Pontius Pilate. And when Judas saw that he was found guilty, condemned, he brought back the 30 pieces of silver and said, I made a mistake. I betrayed innocent blood. They said, that's your business, man. Get out of here. You've done what we wanted to. Get out, man. Look at his split. Go, go, go. And Judas went out and hanged himself. And according to Acts 1, he botched the job. Couldn't even do a good job of hanging. But here's Jesus. Jesus was standing before the governor, Pontius Pilate. And the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you? But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now, it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ? For he knew that it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, don't have anything to do with this innocent man. For I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. Then Pilate addressed the greatest issue you cannot escape. Pilate asked the question of the centuries, the question of the millennia. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? There are many answers to that question. Several of them are found in the 26th and 27th chapters of Matthew's Gospel. Every one of us has to deal with that question. What shall I do then with Jesus? Well, we can do several things. The crowd had an answer. Crucify him. Let him be crucified. Why? Asked Pilate. What crime has he committed? They had no answer. They shouted all the louder, crucify him. First answer, get rid of him. Destroy him. We don't want him around any longer. We have answers like that today. We have people today who don't want Jesus around. Do you realize that the Christian faith is slowly but surely being boxed in to places like this and to churches because the public, the society, the leaders don't want to have to confront the claims of him? Do you realize that there are people today who are having free speech for all kinds of people, including sexual preference speech? But don't you speak about Jesus. Don't you pray, because if you do, you pray in public schools, you got a problem. After all, we get itchy, we get twitchy, so therefore you can't do this. But if Christians stood stronger, if they declared, we have the right to speak as well as anyone else, we could shake the foundations of America, put it back on the right track, and then the terrorists wouldn't even be afraid to attack us. The idea is some of us practice too many things that won't let us be Christians. We practice something I call whinography. We're always whining about what we don't. We're like the Israelites. We're whining about what we don't like or what we don't understand. But Jesus' disciples aren't whinographers. They are gospelers. They tell the truth. They preach the gospel, simple, full, and free. But oh no, no, we can't do it that way. Somebody might get mad if we do that. They might put me out of my church. Yeah, we've got some very, very, very classy preachers who are afraid that the committees might meet, or the personnel committee might get together. And so therefore, we'll preach a compromised gospel. But you can't compromise the uncompromisable. Oh, that's brand new. I never said that before. You can't compromise the uncompromisable. So these people said, get away, do away with him, put him away, get him out of here, crucify him. Pilate said, well, what evil has he done? What crime has he done? Crucify him. Now, Pilate's reaction. That's another reaction. When Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing or getting nowhere, that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. I am innocent of this man's blood. You know what that is? I'll have nothing to do with him. I'll have nothing to do with him. You've got people in the church like that. They don't want the Jesus of the Bible. They want a made-up Jesus. They want a Jesus produced by a commercial enterprise. They want a Jesus that is produced by Sears, Roebuck and Company. They want a man-made Jesus. They want a Jesus who will be nice and you can mold him. And so they say, we don't have anything to do with him. We don't have anything to do with him. We don't want the claims of Christ. We don't want him. But Jesus is making a claim on you. He is asking, what will you do with me? What are you going to do with me? And so they say, no, we Pilate says, well, I'm innocent. You do what you have to do. And so Pilate released him, verse 26. He released Barabbas, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. And then the soldiers, they give you another reaction. The governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. Then they spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they laid him away to crucify him. There are people who mock Jesus. Now, you might not think so, but listen to some of the movies. Look at Jesus Christ, Superstar. Look at that boobicity. Look at that. And then some of the jokes they have on Jesus. The things they say about him. They call him J.C. They have no reverence for him. And that's spitting on him when you hear people call him J.C., the man upstairs. Names like that. They say, well, yeah, I believe in the man upstairs. Well, now, if there's a man up there in that attic that you believe in, that's not going to help you one bit. You are supposed to understand that you can't do that to Jesus. What are you going to do with Jesus? What is going to be your reply? The issue is before us all. Now, some of us are saying, I'm going out here and I'm going to preach and I'm going to earn money and I'm going to get me a reputation. You know what you're doing? You are using Jesus for a stepping stone to your own greatness. That won't work. After all, there is a question that's going to be asked later that we're going to have to deal with. You see, some people will say, well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to preach, but I'm not going to do anything to hurt anybody's people or feelings. I'm going to be good. I'm going to be a good preacher. I'm going to be a popular preacher. Now, if you love the Lord, you aren't going to be very popular. Now, if you want popularity, go join another religion. But if you are going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to stand up for him, stand up with him, and stand up by his strength, and let the whole world of your community know, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, translated to the white first, and also to the black, to all the others. Jesus' gospel is the gospel of salvation, and if you're going to preach it, preach it with steadiness, preach it with readiness, preach it with purpose, preach it with power, preach it with Pentecostal glory that Jesus Christ is God. What will you do with Jesus? The whole idea is, are you going to be like Judas and betray him? Are you going to be like the unconverted Peter and deny him when you are with a group of friends who don't like the fact that you are a Christian and you get up there and say, I'm just the average Joe. I'm the average Josephine. Jesus did not call us to be average. He called us to be special. His blood is not average blood. His sacrifice is not an average sacrifice. It is not a sacrifice of a bull or a goat or a ram. It is the sacrifice of the pure, precious blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. What then shall I do with Jesus? Oh, my goodness. You can look. There are people right here at Southeastern who don't know the answer to that question. I'm not indicting you. I'm just saying, are you going to serve like Isaac Watts said, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend of grace to help me on to God? And then he answers, sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil. Endure the pain, supported by thy word. The whole idea is, are you a soldier of the cross? Are you a salesman? Are you a soldier of the cross? Are you just somebody doing your duty? You've got to realize, it is not you that's important when you stand in the pulpit or when you sing. It's not you that's important. It's Christ. Christ, first of all. What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? Ignore? Get rid of him? Ban him? Compromise him with a new age movement? Bring all the Eastern religions together and say all of us are on the same path? No, we're not. No, we're not. We know the path because we have the Pathfinder. We know who is Lord and who is King. Not Buddha, not Hare Krishna, none of those. But if you ask, who is the King? Who is Lord? It is He who was before He came to this earth. Who was when He was on earth. He left His glory for humiliation and then triumphed over the humiliation with resurrection, and then came from the resurrection to the exaltation when He sat at the right hand of God interceding for us. And soon, very soon, He's coming again to receive us as His own, and then He will ask the question, what then shall I do with you? A young man was sitting in a church on January 3rd, 1954. He was sitting there in the morning service in a church in the mountains, brokenhearted, hurting, because 2 days before then, his sweetheart had told him she no longer was interested in this young man. The young man sat there and cried. He didn't hear the singing of the choir. He didn't hear any of the announcements. He heard nothing until the pastor stepped up and read the 22nd verse of Matthew 27. What then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? And as he sat there, the young man's tears grew even fiercer. His crying shook his frame. He listened to the minister talking about the ways people deal with Jesus. The communion of the Lord's Supper was served that day. And that young man sat there as they placed the bread and the cup in his hand. And the pastor explained that the cup represented or symbolized the body of Christ, and the cup symbolized His blood shed for the remission of sins. The young man was uncontrollable. People were patting him and telling him, it's all right, it's all right. And finally the young man arose and said, Pastor, I need to say something. He said, your sermon is changing my life. He said, I came in here, I'm a Christian, but I came in here and I was thinking of what I had lost. I lost a girlfriend and I was crying over the girlfriend. But on this first Sunday of the year, I tell you, Pastor, I want to serve Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. And the church burst into applause. And that young man went on back to college the following week. And in June of that same year, he preached his first message, having accepted the call of Christ. The story is true. I was that young man. I was the one who was crying over a girl, crying over a simple loss, but now I gained so much in that sermon. And I was thinking of how I was so willing to cry over somebody who didn't really love me. And here is somebody who loved me, poured out his blood for me, gave himself on a cross for me, and here I am crying over some human being. I knew what I had to do with Jesus. I tried to serve him for those 47 years. And brothers and sisters, I'm not tired of serving him yet. I'm past the age to retire. But since I'm not tired, why should I be retired? When I know all that he's done for me. Took me from a broken home, a home where my father denied me, and where my mother was sorry that I was born because I couldn't see. And all of that time, even before I became a Christian at the age of 15, Jesus led me, even though I didn't know he was leading me. He's kept me all this way. I have no reason to be ashamed of being called a Christian. So let come what may, when I'm asked, what will you do with Jesus? The answer is, I will serve him. Amen. I will glorify him. I'll give him all that I've got. And if I had any more, I'd give it to him. Amen. Because he's been good to me. Yeah. He's been the savior of my life. Yeah. And one more thing, then I'm through. The day is going to come when I will have to lay it down, Dr. Patterson. I'm going to have to give up teaching, give up preaching, lay it all down, lay these honors and everything down. But when I do, it won't be because I'm going to stop serving. I'm going to stop worshiping. I'm going to stop following. It will be because it's time for him to call me. And one day, he is going to call me, and I'll be ready to go. They may bury me around here somewhere, but they're not going to bury me. They're going to bury this body because I'm gone to be with Jesus. Amen. And when I go to be with him, the day is going to come when that trumpet call is going to sound, and all God's children from every age and century and race and nation will all be gathered together. And that old hymn had it right, when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that'll be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. And more than that, as I've said in sermons, as I close the message, what will I do with Jesus? When I arrive in the eternity of Jesus, I'm not going to be looking up my mother, my father, my Christian friends, prophets, Luke, John, Paul, none of those, Peter. No. If I had the same kind of eyes I have now, which I won't have, I'd love to take a running start, get to the throne of Jesus, fall on my knees if I had knees, and then look up. And the first face that I have ever seen, the first face that I will ever see, will be the face of Jesus. Then he will welcome me home. What then shall I do with Jesus? I better do the right thing, or what will he do with me?